Are you intrigued by conspiracy theories and the strange, dark, and mysterious? If so, we invite you to subscribe to our new podcast, The Truth Behind the Lies, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Do you love podcasts and classic television? Do you want to listen to Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast and rant radio, completely ad-free? At Limitless Broadcasting Network, we bring you all your favorites like The Carol Burnett Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I Love Lucy without any interruptions. For just $7 a month and $80 a year, you can unlock over 90 hours of quality television and podcast programming. Don't miss out. Subscribe today at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where endless entertainment awaits.
We have 9/11. It kind of reminds me of when Pearl Harbor happened. Or because that was, the president knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen before it happened. And it was just an excuse for us to get into the war. Just like
they knew that these planes were going to be hijacked well before they were hijacked.
Right. And people,
I'm not so sure
the government that. But they would get in trouble or they would get arrested if they tried to stop it.
Well, because they needed it.
Right.
And they're, you know, I personally, could they have put those planes into the buildings? Absolutely. Do I believe the planes are what brought down the buildings? I do not. Do I think that there was something else added to these planes as they went in? Most likely. Or did they have, you know, directed energy strikes? Did they have missiles? Did they have bombs implanted in the planes as they were flown in? I think most of the passengers on these planes were incapacitated. There were reports. I can't remember which plane it was. This lady got a phone call out. And she said there was gas coming out of the vents. She was trying to call her husband, and she was talking about there was gas coming out of the vents and people were falling unconscious. So,
we can find that. I never heard that.
You didn't hear about that one?
I did not hear about that. Tell me more about that.
That was covered on Alex Jones's show.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's the king of covering the 9/11 conspiracies and stuff.
It's hard to find these days.
I think a lot of the 9/11 stuff
has been scrubbed out.
Absolutely. Just looking up stuff for this episode, you find a lot of debunked conspiracy theories. You can't really find anything that actually shows you a spot for true conspiracy theories. It'll give you a list, but it'll tell you the debunked.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Looking up this, trying to figure out like what's A to B, when the president knew stuff, when he didn't know stuff, just how the buildings fell. Well, I was watching the video. Demolition. It was steel can't melt, and you remember
steel can melt, but not at that temperature.
So at a certain temperature, it will melt. But like when the plane hit it and they were like, all this fuel helped it melt. That's not true. It's not hot enough.
But they said that it got hot enough to weaken the steel. Okay, I'll give you that. If it weakened with the winds, it doesn't matter how calm a day it is. The wind that those buildings have hitting it at all times.
Oh, for sure.
If it weakened, it would have collapsed like that.
Right.
And it would have taken out all kinds of people in building. Right. It wouldn't have come down.
It's
going
to collapse to the side since people can't see you. So it's going to collapse to the side.
It wouldn't have pancaked like that. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have come like
straight down. It would have collapsed to the side.
Right. So I don't buy it. I never have. And most of the people who have heard these stories or were around during it don't believe it either.
Right.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can prove any theory. If you throw enough money at it and find the right people to scream about it, you can prove any side of your story.
Absolutely. And
I believe that they have just found, you know, quack scientists who say that, you know, the planes themselves were the ones that took down the buildings.
You know
what I mean? Like the jet fuel and the paper and cardboard, whatever else was inside there, was enough to bring down those buildings.
Right. Are you fighting with your dog?
I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is she trying to play with you?
While I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what my dogs try to do. So 9/11, all the what do you think their agenda was? Do you think it was overall the Patriot Act and then going into Baghdad?
I think it was a multifaceted plan. I think that in order to get everybody on board with being able to do such a...
So you needed something to happen.
In order to do some kind of attack like that and to get people on... Because, I mean, we're talking about a domestic attack.
Right.
A very large domestic attack. We're not just talking about the Twin Towers. We're talking about putting the Pentagon into it. And then the other plane that went over, what was it, Pennsylvania that went down?
Yeah, there were supposed to be like four planes.
Yep.
One went over Pennsylvania. One was going, and then they said a plane hit the Pentagon.
Yep.
But did you hear the reporter say, there's no plane here? There's right. nothing. There's no Somebody plane there. Live and on plus, air saying that.
The hole where the plane supposedly went into the Pentagon was too small.
Right.
It's too small. There's no way that a Boeing 747 would have made that small of an impact.
Plus, right.
We're talking about DC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You mean there's no restricted way. Airfields there are in DC?
Do you if know you how come within a certain amount of miles, they'll shoot you down, regardless if you're a commercial airline or not.
Right.
You're getting shot down.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me a commercial plane made it that far without fighter jets being scrambled and being right alongside that thing and taking it down if they had to? No. Give me a
somebody,
break.
Somebody who should have known about this. Like you
Everybody
can't
knew about
far.
It. We're talking about radar.
Right.
Just radar. Just primitive radar. Damn plane when it was 300-400 miles away from it. They knew the trajectory it was on. They knew exactly where it was going.
Why do you think they didn't do that? Why did scramble jets and shot it down?
They did. I'm sure they did. That plane didn't hit the Pentagon. They used that as a distraction.
As a distraction for something else.
And had a missile strike that hit the Pentagon. That's the only thing that could have moved fast enough and create that kind of damage and get past our defenses and do the damage it did to the Pentagon. They used a smart bomb, a smart missile that went in there and just, boom, took it out. That was it.
Do you remember right after 9/11, any cameras, like any buildings, like if you're a 7-Eleven and you had a camera facing in there,
it's all confiscated.
Yeah, they went in there and confiscated all the video right after the attack.
Right.
And they did it to every store.
Yes, they did.
Why would they do that? Because they want something covered up.
Yep. They're afraid of what people might see or what might get released. And during that time period, you know, our technology wasn't what it is. There was no way to instantly share it.
Right.
Today, you could. There's no way you could get away with that.
Facebook.
Right.
What was the popping social media platform back then? I don't even think we had one yet.
MySpace?
I think it was MySpace. Yeah. But I don't even think people were sharing this on MySpace.
No, it really wasn't much. Nobody was doing that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, your cell phones, we still had, you know, one button scroll through your letters on top of the number to try and send a text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a different time.
It's been confirmed that MySpace was the key social media back in those days. So thank you for the confirmation, Samantha. So I got a text. She was like, oh, it's MySpace.
Yep.
So can you imagine being in the building at this time? And like the people that were there.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like hopping out of the windows. What do you think their last thought was? Like, I'm going to die
one way or another. I'm going to die. So I'm going to go at my hands. Either I'm going to burn alive or I'm going to.
I'm assuming that's why people jumped.
Yep.
Because the fire was so. So it went into like the first plane got hit like the 52nd floor or the 60th floor. And the other plane hit like.
Well, see, here's the thing. 25th
floor.
There wasn't really fire. You can watch any videos of that at all. You see some smoke,
right?
Because there is a little bit, but it's not like it was a roaring, fire that was stopping people from getting out. Those planes hit stairwells. They hit elevators and stairwells. They blocked off those they blocked off the exit, so all those people were trapped.
Right. So before the actual attacks happened, I hear they were working on the elevators with armed guards around them, like days before it happened. And people are like, that's weird. Why do these technicians need all these armed guards around them? Why are they working?
So they could disable all the methods of escape for all these people.
Right.
You can take down a building, but if you it's a tragedy if the building goes down, but it is a true disaster if the loss of human life is enormous.
Right. And that's why they want as much loss of life that day. Almost 3,000 people were killed.
Human life means nothing to these people.
Absolutely not. Nothing. We're both expendable. Highly expendable.
It's not just us both. It's everybody on this planet. There are the haves and then there are the have nots. They believe that they are entitled to everything, and we are
their slaves.
The serfs. We are the ones that if that expression, in order to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. We're their eggs, and they don't care how many eggs they break. I mean, they just don't. That's where human resources comes from.
Right.
We're just a resource.
Right.
We're the dumb breeders. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Right. No,
that's
absolutely
the way they look at us.
People in the building on 9/11, the people that got out, they kept saying they heard pops. Pop, pop, pop.
Uh-huh.
Before like big explosions happen.
Yeah, it's the explosions. It was the explosives going off, getting ready to detonate the building so it could drop, taking out the support beams.
Absolutely.
It happens at any demolition.
If you look at when they tore down the Wynn or the Stardust from the casino out in Vegas, it went down the same way the towers went down.
Yeah,
the same identical thing. And then they say, no, a plane did this.
Nope. There's no way. And I mean, anybody who's a rational thinker, I mean, you don't even have to be the smartest person on the planet. If you just look at it logically.
Right.
There's no way. No way that makes sense to you. It doesn't matter how many times this is the definition of gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And people that actually believe that this happened. I mean, I believe the tragedy happened. I believe the disaster happened.
Right.
That is not, but it's the method that they use to create this disaster.
Right.
And they did it to us. And our own government was complicit in doing this.
Well, it's not the first time the government has been complicit to do things like.
No, not at all.
In Cuba. They were trying to get us into war in Cuba. They were thinking about hijacking some bus and killing a bunch of people and saying the Cubans did it. And that would have got us to go out to war with Fidel Castro.
Yep.
But for some reason, that didn't happen. Pearl Harbor was an inside job. They knew exactly when the bombs were going to be. I mean, that's confirmed to this day. What else? I mean, the list can go on and on that it kind of reminds me of what we did to the Indians. We were friends with them, and then we gave them all these blankets full of smallpox and everything, and we just wanted their land.
Right.
And so it's kind of something like that.
100% it is.
So what do you think the outcome has been from all this?
The Gulf of Tonkin, that was another one that got us into Vietnam.
Explain that one for the viewers.
For the viewers, Gulf of Tonkin?
Yeah.
It was a, let's see. Let me get it right. It's where the United States forces were carrying out covert amphibious operations on the North Vietnamese, and they were blaming it on others to get us into it.
Okay.
To get our involvement in Vietnam, because we were trying to stay out of it.
Right. We were trying to stay neutral.
Yep.
So
it was kind of the same with World War II. You know, we were staying out of that one.
I know. And I agree. Then
Pearl Harbor hit and we were in the war.
Yeah. And that they knew exactly if that happened, there would be an outcry of support. And then Americans, have you ever noticed if something happens to this country, we come together, Americans come together and want to fight.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they weren't counting on, especially with 9/11. The unity of being an American was so strong, especially after it went down. Oh, I'm a proud American, and everybody hanging up their flags. They counted on that. Nowadays.
They knew that. They knew that was going to happen. They knew that that was the perfect. They use predictive programming. They know exactly what it takes to push people to get the desired reaction that they want. They knew exactly what to do to get us right where they wanted us. We hook, line, and sinker agreed to the Patriot Act.
Oh, absolutely. We begged for it.
We had that security now, but yes. We gave up all kinds of liberties for it.
They can legally spy on us without warrants. Yeah, they can enter our property without warrants. If they think you're a terrorist, they can hold you indefinitely without going to court because of the Patriot Act.
Well, you got to really read these things because they can't just do this stuff, but it's real easy to classify you as something. It's real easy. I mean, you'd be surprised how loosely they use domestic terror. You know what I mean? They can put that title on anybody basically.
Well,
because it doesn't take very much to be called a domestic terrorist because all you are is
ties into the 9/11 as well.
Ish. Yes. He found out the truth about what was going on with the country, and then he decided he was going to do some rectification for it.
And that's how, right.
But, I mean, that's one version of it. The other version is he was an MK Ultra.
True.
You know, he was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was
a Manchurian candidate?
Well, under MK Ultra,
you can
he
go
was one of the. They just used that kind of mind control programming, round him up, sent him in there, and let him do his thing. I mean, he was the perfect patsy for it.
Right. I mean, we definitely should do an episode on the Oklahoma City bombing because that indirectly ties into all of this. We'll see what you think.
Right.
There's so many, like all these conspiracies are so convoluted. They're all interconnected.
Well, the problem with 9/11 is that so many people died
for greed.
It was greed. I mean,
it was over greed.
It was greed for some. It was over power control and, you know, the ability to spy on us all by some. It was over a family's, you know, butthurt philosophies, you know, that they wanted to get in there and get their name back, you know. Mm-hmm. But also there were items in Iraq that other power structures wanted control of.
Right.
You know, Iraq is supposedly had a working Stargate, and whoever has control of those Stargates has control of a lot of things. That's interdimensional travel right there.
Right.
Not to mention all the antiquities that proved where civilization began and where we came from. And the truth behind the Anunnaki.
That's exactly right. You're talking about the Anunnaki.
And those who control that kind of stuff control the true power. I mean, greed and family vendettas and things like that, that's minor stuff. But it's when you get into the real things, the beginning of our species, you know?
Right.
Controlling the actual
world.
Controlling the implements that help these interdimensional beings go back and forth, you know?
Right.
That's a pretty profound power to have control of. And to have a working one. And I've heard that it's not the only working one, and there's a few of them in the world.
Where would be another one?
That was an easy one for us to get to, because it was already in a conflict area, so that was easy for us to get to.
Was that in the green zone?
Do what?
Was that in the green zone? I feel like it was. I feel like they made a movie that it was like looking for weapons of mass destruction, and they cleared it. But the reason why they went in there was because of the Stargate.
Oh, well, they've made movies about all kinds of stuff like that. But the only weapons of mass destruction were what was found in these libraries and in these museums. And the true information, you know, because the things that were there could have destroyed religion
and brought it down to his knees.
Religion is the main way to control the population.
Right.
I mean, they've been doing it for a millennia. So if you could topple religions by uncovering what was actually documented in their, you know, physically there, just needing to be shown to people, they're never going to let that out.
You know, absolutely, what I mean?
There's no way. The churches make too much money and have too much control over people. And can you imagine what would happen to people if they were to find out that, you know, their belief system isn't exactly what they think it is? And I'm not here to argue theology with anybody like that. I mean, believe what you want to. That's a great thing about this world. You can believe anything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there are those who believe in that. What is it? The flying spaghetti monster thing. So
you lost me on that. This flying spaghetti monster. What's that?
What are they? Pastafarians?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
We don't know.
Yeah, Pastafarianism, also known as the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I'm saying
you can believe in whatever you want.
Right,
But if there is proof of the origin, you know, the origination of our species in the Middle East, you know,
they're never going to let that out.
That's not going to be something that is ever going to see the light of day.
Absolutely not.
Not just I mean, that's like when they went to Egypt. Every time there's a major archaeological find in Egypt, the governments go in there first.
Right.
And they see what's there before it's allowed to be released to any museum or anywhere like that.
The
Smithsonian is controlled by the government.
And it's very
Have so much stuff that'll never be seen by anybody.
Just like the Vatican does too.
The Vatican's archives books.
I hear they have a working time machine that they can look into the past. They have goggles that you look in and you can see the past and what happened. And it's at the Vatican. They have things sealed off that they'll never bring up. You know?
I do know what you're talking about.
That came out couple years ago. A whistleblower came out and was like, yeah, there's a working time machine there. I can't remember what it's actually called.
The chronovisor
that you could look in the past.
Well, I'm not saying they do and I'm not saying they don't, but if they go through such trouble to debunk and make sure that we don't ever get the chance to see any of these things, you know, it makes me think that maybe there's some truth to it.
So you don't ever think there'll be a time where all this stuff, it just comes out and says, yep, aliens are real. Everything that we've came out and said is a lie. There's people on Mars. Well, we have bases on Mars. All this.
They're working on. I mean, there are some things that are coming out that they have to. It's just getting too hard to control. The way the genie is almost out of the bottle and they can't put it back in. They're starting to have to extraterrestrials. They're slowly starting to admit.
They're there. They're real.
They've told us for 100 years that, you know, there's no such thing as aliens. You know, don't believe this. Don't believe that. If they go back and completely say, you know what, hey, we lied to you. This is what we found. This is what's here. They lose all credibility. People will be in an uproar. Right. There's too many people that are too invested in it. You still have a large majority of the public that will believe hook, line, and sinker whatever the government tells them. And even the ones that do question a little bit are still in the back of their mind like, well, no, there's no way they would actually lie to us, you know, because they're our government. They're for us, you know, and we get new people in there. So how could they pop? Because everybody has a way to be controlled. Right. It doesn't matter who you are. If you make it into politics, they've got a way to control you. Right. They're going to find a way to control you. They're going to find some way to gather incriminating evidence or get you in a compromising scenario.
Something. Everybody can be blackmailed.
And you are going to be under their control. And for most people, it's money. There's no way that these people go into public office, you know, barely rubbing two nickels together and coming out multimillionaires. Right. You know what I mean? Because
they're being paid to keep their mouth shut.
Well, not necessarily mouth shut. It's to push whatever line they want. Or it doesn't matter if it's pushing that, you know, 9/11 was, you know, a terroristic operation, and it was buildings were brought down by planes, and Building 7 was brought down by, you know, a piece of paper was on fire and caught the right draft and blew through the window and came down. You know, it started. Who knows?
They can always find
somebody to do that.
What did they say about Building 7 and why it came down?
They obfuscated that one. They never really gave anything.
But people just filled in the blanks and they were like, well, obviously something happened.
Yeah.
Nobody pushed that topic.
It was pushed, but it wasn't pushed on. If it was pushed on like the news or something like that, it was always shifted to another topic real quick. Right. You were always cut off. You were always spoken over, you know, nothing was ever, the only time it was ever talked about or pushed was through, you know, a conspiracy related show or somebody who was trying to bring upon a different topic or different narrative. Viewpoint. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but they would always make that person look crazy because they're just like, this can't be real. This is what the government said has happened. But if you look at the cold, hard facts, it just doesn't add up.
Well, and that was the thing with Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has a lot of very, very good information on these topics. He put in a lot of legwork on it. Problem is, he's a very eccentric person. And he got wrapped up. You know what I mean? He gave him an inch to run on with him being crazy, and it discounted everything all the true things he brought up before. But this guy.
Subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com to finish listening to the episode ad-free.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Hi, this is Ryan Lambert from the Monster Squad, and you are listening to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman.
What's your favorite scary movie?
What's the boogeyman?
You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand?
It's showtime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And welcome to the show. Today, we have a very cool show. We are talking about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter. Mm-hmm. Sinners kicked off our vampire month.
Mm-hmm. Our series. We might be doing like 2 months worth of vampires.
So.
Actually, yeah.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. So this is our second movie on that list. Mm-hmm. So what do we got?
All right. So this movie was released June 22nd, 2012.
Okay.
So like 13 years ago.
13 years ago. Wow.
Yeah. Crazy. Rated R, obviously. It's an hour and 45 minutes. The description that I got was from IMDb from Gary. So shout out, Gary.
Thanks a lot, Gary.
Yep. At the age of 9, Abraham Lincoln witnesses his mother being killed by a vampire, Jack Bartz. Some 10 years later, he unsuccessfully tries to eliminate Bartz, but in the process makes the acquaintance of Henry Sturgis, who teaches him how to fight and what is required to kill a vampire. The quid pro quo is that Abe will only kill those vampires that Henry directs him to. Abe relocates to Springfield, where he gets a job as a store clerk while he studies the law and kills vampires by night. He also meets and eventually marries the pretty Mary Todd. Many years later, as president of the United States, he comes to realize that vampires are fighting with the Confederate forces. As a result, he mounts his own campaign to defeat them.
It's a very cool movie.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, which I just learned.
Yeah, I mean,
after all these years.
It has history in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a way to get people to like history without liking history.
No, that's fair. We got a couple taglines. Are you a patriot or a vampire?
I do like that.
President by day, hunter by night. Although most of the movie, he's not the president, but. Just saying. And then Evil Fears the Hunter. I think the first two are better than the third one. So the movie's director was Timur Bekmambetov.
I don't know. I'm sure we butchered that.
He was the director, though. Writer, screenplay, and the novel is credited to Seth Graham Smith.
Well, good for you. A lot of people don't do all of them. Mm-hmm. Usually you have somebody that does the book and then somebody readapts the screenplay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then the novel.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we're going to move to production companies. Bezalev's Company.
I'm really
struggling today. Dune Entertainment and Tim Burton Productions.
Okay.
Did you know that?
I did not.
Yes, Tim Burton is a producer on this movie.
It makes sense.
I think it makes sense, too. Yes. And it was distributed by 20th Century Fox.
Okay.
Did we watch this on Hulu?
Yes.
That makes sense.
That's why.
Okay. Yeah, I was like, I don't think we paid for this. So, yeah. So, there you go. It's available to stream on Disney Plus, Hulu, whatever. So, our cast. Benjamin Walker is Abraham Lincoln. Dominic Cooper was Henry. Anthony Mackie is Will Johnson, Lincoln's earliest and closest friend. Well, he's the adult Will Johnson. Young Will was played by Curtis Harris. Mary Elizabeth Winstead was Mary Todd Lincoln. Martin Zocas is Jack Bartz. No idea. Rufus Sewell is Adam. So he's the leader of the vampires.
Right.
Yeah. Jimmy Simpson was Joshua Speed. And then Alan Tudyk is in here as Stephen A. Douglas.
Why can't people maybe name Bob or Tim?
I don't know.
Something simple.
I mean, a lot of these names I didn't really struggle with. But, yeah. Certainly Martin. I have no idea how to say your last name. I just, no. So budget was estimated to be $69 million. And its opening weekend, it made $16 million, and then its gross in the U.S. and Canada 38, and worldwide was $116 million.
So it made its at least production budget back.
Worldwide though was a lot more money.
Yeah.
Like, and normally you see like, okay, maybe it doubles it thereabouts, you know, kind of close, but it clearly made a lot more money overseas.
Yeah.
Than it did here.
The thing about it is it has a budget of $69 million, right? That's mm-hmm. the production budget. Mm-hmm. They probably have a marketing budget. Just for the same amount of
right.
money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you always have to think about that. Mm-hmm. So ratings-wise, this one is all over the place. So on IMDb, it's sitting at a 5.9 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes audience gave it a 50%. And then on Google, it's got a 4.5 out of 5.
Wow, okay.
And to be fair, on Google, it only had like maybe 10 reviews or something. It was not that many. But people who did rate it on Google enjoyed it. So
it's an enjoyable film.
Yeah, I think you just have to go into it with the right mindset, you know?
Yeah.
So I do have some trivia.
Okay.
In real life, Abraham Lincoln was considered the best Greco-Roman wrestler of his day, winning over 300 matches. Only one loss is known. On April 22nd, 1832, Lincoln was thrown in two straight falls by Lorenzo Dow Hank Thompson during a wrestling match in Beardstown, Illinois. Otherwise, he was undefeated.
But when you want to, when you want to try to wrestle him again to get that undefeated title back?
Yeah, he didn't. It just
clearly it didn't bother him.
No, it must not have, since he won so many and only lost the one. So, Joshua Speed was one of Abraham Lincoln's oldest friends, dating back to their days in Springfield. Joshua never actually came to Washington, but his brother James Speed was considered one of Lincoln's oldest friends in Washington and served as Attorney General from late 1864 until he resigned in 1866.
I wonder why he resigned.
Who knows? Benjamin Walker trained to be able to do a lot of his own stunt work with an axe. And he promoted the film in character for armed services personnel aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln.
That's pretty cool.
That was fun. Yeah. I think that's.
You think people saluted him? Mr. President.
Who knows? I bet they had a lot of fun with it, though.
Yeah.
The film holds the world record for the highest horses per minute of any film ever produced, at least at the time of this trivia.
Okay.
This was never supposed to be the case, but an intern working on the horse CGI team misunderstood an assignment and accidentally coded 1.6 million horses in this scene instead of 16. He was supposed to put 16 horses in that scene and put 1.6 million.
What scene was this?
When they're battling, remember, it's him and the vampire.
Oh,
the one he was going after.
Yeah.
And they end up, and there's like on a stampede of horses.
Okay.
That they're fighting.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they end up like just fighting and battling, bouncing horse to horse. So there's only supposed to be 16 horses.
Well, they got.
There was a lot more.
Don't you think
it's huge when they do like, you know, a wide shot? There's like a lot of them.
Don't you think 1.6 million makes it look like bigger and better?
Well, and it clearly did.
Oh man,
it did. So I'm gonna come back to this trivia. I'm gonna skip one and come back, and I'll tell you why. Although both are credited to the same author, Seth Graham Smith, the movie and its source novel are very different. So, Adam and Vedoma do not appear in the book. In the book, Henry became a vampire in the 1580s, and Abe recognizes him as such at first sight. There are tangential subplots involving historical figures such as Edgar Allan Poe, William Henry Seward, General George B. McClellan, and John Wilkes Booth. Now, they did have Harriet Tubman in the movie, and she wasn't in the book, but yeah, there was a lot more historical figures in the book than there were in the movie.
Okay. Okay.
And also in the book, Mary Todd Lincoln never actually learns about vampires.
Okay.
Which, you know, I don't know if it was better or for worse in the movie, but yeah. Now, I don't know for this trivia on IMDb, I'm not sure who added this, and I don't know what kind of crack you were smoking when you put this on here. But I did research this because I thought it was bizarre. So, they put in here as a trivia, the finale, where the train plummets off a fiery bridge, is shot for shot the same as the season 3 finale of Thomas and Friends. Do you know what Thomas and Friends is from, like, the 80s?
No, I don't,
George actually. Carlin hosted it. He was, like, the train conductor. Thomas and Friends. You know Thomas the Tank Engine?
That's what I was thinking. Thomas and Friends.
The blue tank engine. And he tells stories. And
yeah.
With his friends. It's still Thomas and Friends. And Yeah, they go on little cartoony adventures and they teach kids lessons about things.
Yeah.
From like the 80s, maybe into the early 90s. I know I watched it as a
kid. You know, now that you're bringing this up, I have the rights to this.
Okay, well.
I have the streaming rights. So
let's, I enjoyed.
Let's plug our streaming network
real fast. Yes, let's plug that because this is a good show for kids.
So this.
Even though George Carlin was involved.
This will soon be available on limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com. So Thomas and Friends.
Subscribe and watch it. It was a great PBS show. I believe it was on PBS.
But yeah, that's why I was confused. Like,
yeah.
The train. Yeah, I know that. So, but.
So again, I don't know if they just thought it was funny to put this in here or what was wrong with this person. But I was just like, I find it hard to believe that Thomas and Friends had a fiery bridge accident where one of the trains that's basically alive falls off of it.
And I couldn't.
Sure enough, I could not find this. Not only just in the season 3 finale, but in any references to Thomas and Friends. And in fact, what I found for the season 3 was the last episode that aired was some sort of a Christmas episode. So. Yeah.
Well.
I wanted to leave it because it was so bizarre, and I don't know. This is why sometimes you have to watch what you're quoting off of IMDb, because anybody can add stuff, and it's not necessarily checked. Same thing with, like, Wikipedia, you know?
Right.
Like, you don't always know what's on there.
That's why you can't use Wikipedia on papers.
But I've heard this,
college
too.
College papers.
Like, people, like, celebrities talking about, whether it's Wikipedia or just IMDb, they'll just be like, I don't know where they got that information from. They'll have a credit for them, and they're like, I was not involved in that project whatsoever. I don't know why that's on my IMDb. So there you go. Like,
this is why. People just automatically put stuff up
there. You can't always trust IMDb. But this is one of the most blatantly ridiculous things I've seen on there.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I included it, and the fiery train crash in this movie was a lot, very epic. Didn't happen in Thomas and Friends. So, don't look for it.
It's not there.
It's not linked there if you read this trivia.
So, I'm assuming you're done with the trivia.
I've ran out of trivia. Yes.
So, what did you think of the movie?
I liked it. I mean, I've never seen it, despite the fact that we've been together.
I got super offended about this, because this is a nostalgic vampire film.
What I'm trying to figure out, because I've never seen this.
Well, I just assume that you did. You know, I've seen a lot of movies. When did
you see this? Like, you clearly saw this without me. Because this came out on June 22nd, 2012. And we were surely together at that point in time. In fact, I think we were here.
I must have seen it in the movie theaters or something.
Yes, like, you must have just went and watched it without me. Because I have no recollection of ever seeing this movie.
I don't actually remember taking you to the movie theaters. I just remember I just remember being like, oh, it's a vampire movie. I'm going to go check it out.
But yes, we were very much dating and living together and here.
Yes. Thank you.
Isn't that nice? And then he has the nerve to tell me all these years later, this is one of his favorite movies, which he's clearly had ample time to show me or bring up.
Of course, yeah. I just thought, I assumed. You saw it already. I mean, it's been out for.
This is like Easy A all over again.
Umpteen years. And me not knowing that you didn't see Vampire or Abraham Lincoln.
This is the Easy A event all over again.
No, where it's not.
He literally was insistent. He took me to go see Easy A, and we hadn't even met yet when that movie was in theaters. And then he was like, oh, it was somebody else, clearly.
Anyway.
So.
Now that our business is all the way out there, this is why you subscribe to the show, to have our commentary, too, and all of our business out there.
Yep.
So, what did you actually think of the plot?
I mean, I did like you said at the beginning, I like the tie-in of, they tried to incorporate it with history.
Yes.
Right? I mean, obviously, they had to make their own version of history. But I thought it was cool that they were using real life things and adding it into his life and to tie in, like, well, this is what he did do during the day that everybody knows about, but then at night he was doing this other
thing.
Can
you imagine if Abraham Lincoln really was a vampire hunter?
Right?
Like, don't. out of all the presidents, I could see Abraham Lincoln being that guy.
I like the they chose him. I thought he was a good
fit. I think it fit well in history, where they were like, oh, well, the vampires are fighting for the South. And they have a war going on, and they're
and helping You know what's even funnier, though, is the fact that the year this movie came out was also the same year that Lincoln came out.
Yes.
And it just cracks me up that I do vaguely remember that from 2012, where you literally had the two movies the same year coming out. And one was a very serious...
The movie Lincoln was like 3 hours long.
And it won like, all sorts of awards.
It was like the Gettysburg Address. They filmed that. I mean, I remember when they were promoting that. They were doing the speeches. You're right. It won all sorts of awards. And then you had this one. Which just, I think with them being released together, it just helped with the cross promotion.
I think it probably did too.
But I just... From the plot, him seeing his mother get killed, and then him meeting Henry, he was trying... when he was hunting a vampire and he was trying to shoot him, and the ball dropped out, and he was... Because back in the day, you had the one shot, and then you had to do it again, and then he put his pocket watch in there, and finally ended up killing the vampire. I was like, oh, man. And then the scene with him... he went into the store, and he knew the guy was a vampire because Henry was like, you need to go to this,
Is it, you talking about the pharmacist one?
Yeah.
Like the first one he went after?
Yeah.
In Springfield? Yeah.
And he was like, you need to, he's waiting for you. And then he, like, vamped out and then knocked him out, and then he found himself hanging upside down.
Yeah.
Like, clearly you've been doing this a while.
That's why you don't mess with a pharmacist, let alone a pharmacist vampire.
Well, he had him hanging upside down, like, to bleed him out.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what happened with all of the other victims. He, he hung him upside down and then bled him out. And just, I think the bodies were still there, though.
Yeah, because he looked around and he freaked out because
I guess if you bleed him out, they don't decompose? I don't know.
No, they're still going to decompose. But I don't think a vampire cares.
But wouldn't it smell walking into the pharmacy?
Well, back in those days, I don't think it, I hate to say it, but I have a feeling it just generally didn't smell overly pleasant anywhere, if you think about it.
Because of, like, sanitation and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's very different times.
So, no, I agree. Yeah. I agree. But then he was, then he got the axe. When it, when Henry was training him, he was like, cut the tree down in one chop. And he was like, there's no way I can do this. No way I can do this. And finally he knocks that sucker down.
You got him all worked up.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that what they did with the axe is the axe.
Putting the silver on it?
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah. I thought that was smart. I still, though, I mean, first time watching it, and I clocked Henry being a vampire, like, right away.
Yeah.
Especially with the, him putting on, like, the heavy sunscreen and stuff. And I'm like, that motherfucker's a vampire.
And then when Lincoln saw him kill somebody, and he was like, you son of a bitch. And he was like, you weren't ready to know yet. I'm just like, how did you not know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, seriously, Lincoln?
I mean, you're smart. You're going to be the president of the United States. How did you not catch that?
Yeah, and I thought he was supposed to be, like, a master vampire hunter. And I'm just like, you didn't notice? Huh? Seriously, bro?
Well, clearly, he didn't let him stay. Like, it didn't offend him too much.
No, I mean, obviously they worked it out because they continued to be out and about together.
But he, Henry even asked after, like, when he was, before he was going to go to the theater, he was like, you want me to make you a vampire? And if he would have made him a vampire, he wouldn't have died.
John Wilkes Booth wouldn't have gotten him. You're right. That's very true.
And then at the very end, when Henry's sitting alone at the bar, and he was like, people only drink this much when they're broken up or they're going to kill somebody. And he pats him on the back and the gun drops out. I feel like they could have probably made another movie following up.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what they would have necessarily done, because I think this was kind of a standalone story. I mean, it's literally titled Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah. No, I agree. Hunter,
you know, and I did read where some people thought that the guy that he patted on the back at the bar was supposed to be an allusion to another president. And the writer was like, no, he was just a guy. Like, no, he wasn't supposed to be another president of any sort or future president.
Okay.
At the bar. So
what did you think of the actual vampire faces?
I thought these were good. I did like their design.
Their teeth and everything like that.
No, I thought they were scary enough. They got the point across.
You could tell they're very much CGI, though.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't makeup.
You know, like, you can tell that's what they were heavily implied. It's CGI.
Yeah. I do like better when they do makeup things, but I understand, you know.
Yeah, I like the more practical effects, mm-hmm. like the Lost Boys, the Buffy's, Interview with the Vampires, mm-hmm. and all that.
Yeah.
Speaking of Interview with the Vampire, it will be our next movie.
Yep, that's our plan. As long as we don't get distracted, that should be the next one we watch. That's queued up.
That is ready
for us
to
do next. And I haven't seen, I've seen parts of the movie, but I don't know if I've ever actually seen the whole thing. And again, that's because Robbie likes to watch things without me and then be like, oh, you haven't seen this before? I'm so surprised.
What would you rate this movie, though?
This one? I mean, I'd give it a solid 8. I mean, again, like the CGI vampires, I would have preferred if they were a little bit more different. Practical. But, you know, I don't think the story was dragging. Again, I think the history tie-in was well done.
Yeah.
And another thing I like about the movie is the things Abraham is doing, Henry is doing, the vampire. The entire thing is ridiculous, right? I mean, it's nonsense what they're doing. But the movie never
lags.
No, I was going to say, they never play it as nonsense, right? Like, I don't know if I can explain it, but like, the movie clearly doesn't take itself overly seriously, but it doesn't act that way. So it's not like a campy movie.
Right.
Which it could have very well been, being that it's literally called Abraham Lincoln Vampire. I mean, like,
come on. I think that was the saving grace of it, that it wasn't campy. Mm-hmm. Because it was just the right amount of seriousness.
Yes, they took everything very seriously and played it that way with knowing that what they were doing was ridiculous. I mean, some of those fight scenes and stuff. I mean, the train scene. I mean, all of it was just nonsense, but it was fun.
Do you know, when we were watching this movie, I did forget that Anthony Mackie was in this.
Oh, I remember you were like, I forgot he's in this.
This must have been one of his first movies.
He looked very young.
I know he did a Hurt Locker and probably this one, but this must have been one of his first credits. Yeah. I didn't realize how many movies Anthony Mackie has actually been in.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting Marvel helped him out as an actor.
Oh, it really pushed him to the forefront.
Yeah. But I was just like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and he did a good job in this movie, being incorporated.
He's kind of like Alan Tudyk. Like, he's just, he's in this movie.
Alan Tudyk. I mean, Alan Tudyk wasn't, I had to just shout him out because he wasn't in this a whole lot. But the fact that he came in with Mary Todd when, you know, she first met Lincoln. And just Alan Tudyk, no matter what character he is, he just is that character. And he just did a very good job of being a snooty Stephen Douglas. You know what I mean? Just the way he carried the character, I thought was well done. Again, like, kind of ridiculous, but taking it seriously.
Right.
So.
I mean, you remember the part of the movie where he went out vampire hunting, mm-hmm. and then he's going back to the hardware store, and his wife was snuck up on him, and mm-hmm. he was getting ready to, like, axe her down,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, Mary, what mm-hmm. are you doing? He was like, she was like, what do you got in there? And then he had to pull out the ring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you must know.
I thought that was a clever redirect on his point, but
this is not the way I wanted it to happen, but here you go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all in all, like, this is the type of movie you could put on just replay and have it in the background. Like, I don't think it's going to get too old to be like, oh, we watch that again?
No, it's just a fun movie, just a fun vampire movie. And then I like that we got the story of how Henry became a vampire and what happened and why he hunts
them.
Why
did Henry become
Adam, the old vampire, It, like, attacked him and his fiance.
Right.
I think, yeah, I don't know if they were married. I think they were just engaged, maybe. And they attacked him and then made him sit there and struggle while he turned both of them and, like, basically tortured him because he tried to kill him and then he couldn't.
Right, because he's a vampire. Mm-hmm. He was like, that's God's joke. Mm-hmm. And he was like, welcome to the family.
Yeah, but I did like when Adam had, like, he had Will and Lincoln, and he was basically saying, like, you need to give up Henry because I want to take him out in his little faction of, like, anti-vampires. You need to help me, or I'm going to murder your best friend, Will.
Right.
And, you know, it was very tense, but at the same time, I thought it was really obvious that Lincoln was never going to give in.
Right.
He was basically just like...
Like, when they had him tied up, and they were like, up, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, Anthony Mack's character is done for. Mm-hmm. And then his friend comes in with the horse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They came barreling in. Yeah, it was the shop owner. Yeah.
Right, right.
Came in, yeah, and saved the day. So.
And it's funny that those two people were still with him while he was president. Mm-hmm. It was like their chief of staff and his mm-hmm. advisor.
Yeah.
But they stuck with them all through time. And I thought that was really cool mm-hmm. that he stuck with his own people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I liked that too.
And so, mm-hmm. yeah, I really like this movie. I would probably give it an 8.5 to a 9 mm-hmm. just because I'm kind of biased. I think it's a good ride. From the first frame to the last mm-hmm. frame, mm-hmm. you never get bored with it.
Yeah.
I think every time you watch it, you're like, oh, I didn't see that the last time. You always pick up something.
That's fair.
Or you're always like, oh, that's right, that happened. I mean, even though I've watched it several times, when we watched it, I was like, oh, Anthony Mackie's in here. Mm-hmm. I forgot. It's just things like that. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those, I'm glad they produced it. I'm glad it did so well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if they could actually reboot this today.
If they were going to do it, I would feel like, I don't know. I don't think you'd want to redo this particular movie. And I don't know if it would be
weird. As received as well.
Well, I don't know if it'd be weird to try and bring in another president, you know?
To be a vampire?
Yeah, to be a vampire hunter.
If you had to pick another one, what would you do?
I mean, honestly, my first thought was probably, like, Barack Obama, because I feel like he would fit the narrative to be, like, a vampire hunter at night or something.
I thought you were going to say Trump. Trump the vampire hunter. Just for some reason.
If Trump could kill them by, like, bringing them to Florida and wine and dining them, maybe. He's a bit too out of shape to be a vampire hunter. This works for Lincoln, because he was tall and lanky and obviously in shape because he was a wrestler, as we learned.
I could see Barack Obama.
I just feel like he has that vibe where he could be a, by night, a vampire
Barack
hunter.
Barack Obama, vampire hunter.
Yeah, I could see him if we had to pick, like, a president.
I think
a lot of them are so old.
George W. could not. I mean,
no offense to George W. George W.
was a great president.
There's no hate there, but to me, he's just
out of shape.
Too old.
Maybe in his prime?
Maybe. So maybe we're looking, I guess, fair enough. Because Lincoln was younger, and then he became president and was still a vampire hunter. But
younger George W. probably maybe. Could have done that.
He could be on the list, potentially, is doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. You know, now he does, like, paintings and stuff. Like, he's, like, an avid, skilled painter.
Well, maybe he did it while he was in the White House.
I don't know if he did or not, but I know that's a thing that they talk about now, at least in his, like, retirement years. That's what he does. And he's, like, an excellent painter.
Well, maybe what does he have to do? I mean, he's done being president.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to worry about money anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, he basically could sit around and nap all day.
Yeah.
Why not paint, right? So who would you guys want to see as a next vampire hunter?
I mean, there's a lot of presidents to choose from.
Which president would you put in there?
I mean, I kind of felt like Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, I was thinking Teddy Roosevelt, too. Teddy Roosevelt, vampire hunter.
I could see maybe Teddy Roosevelt being on the list. He was an avid, like, explorer. And
he was... I know there's two... That was his brother, right? Teddy Roosevelt was the one with the Great Depression, right? Yeah, he served through the Great Depression.
Yeah.
Did you know, speaking of history, he was the closest thing we had to a king in this country. Because he had so many terms as president. He's the reason why they set up term limits. Because I think Teddy stepped down.
So he was the 26th president, began in 1901 and ended... No, he was before that. Because so he I'm was done in 1909.
I'm talking about his brother.
Yes. He took office when President McKinley died, was assassinated.
And then I guess we're talking about Theodore.
No, that's Teddy. That is Teddy Roosevelt. Yeah, this is who I was talking about.
Yeah, Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, but his tenure ended in 1909. So that would have been before what you're talking about. Because you're talking about...
Like the Depression and all
Franklin.
That. Yeah, Franklin. That's who I'm talking about. FDR. Because
right? when we were talking about, I'm like, isn't that an FDR thing?
Yes, but that's why I asked you. I wasn't sure. So I'm talking about FDR.
I probably should know better.
FDR was the closest thing to a king. And because of him, they set up term limits.
Yeah. Franklin won the record for 4 presidential elections. So, yeah, that is who we're talking about.
Yes.
1932, 36, 40, and 44.
And I think
they put the 22nd Amendment in 1951, which limited it to 2 terms.
Yeah, I think he actually stepped down on his own.
He died. No, he died 82 days into his 4th term.
That's why. Yeah. Well, I'm trying to tell you some partial truth, though.
Yeah, I gotta refresh our history. I mean, honestly, like I liked history class, but I could tell you a lot more about Disney history because I'm interested in it than I could the president.
You don't like American history?
Okay. Well, I can tell you what they talk about on The American Adventure. I remembered which one was Teddy Roosevelt.
I guess the real reason why I like history is because you think about it, and it's like a story. Like,
no, I think that's good. My dad loved it, too.
If you think about it, like it's like a big movie script where you have people trying to betray each other. You have espionage. You have love. You have deceit.
Way to say it.
You have all these people warring. And you know what? I did better in college than high school. High school, I barely got by. But in college, I got an A in history because I was just like, this is fascinating.
I think
especially,
that's great.
Especially American history. I was just like, I liked my professor so much that I could just be like, all right, just talk to me.
That's a key thing, too. It depends who's teaching.
Yeah.
As well. Because I know my senior year when we had to take American government, this is shit I was just like, I'm not going to do this. I don't care about this. It's my senior year, right? But my teacher, Mr. Smith, was one of the best. We had so many great teachers. He was one of my favorite teachers. I had an A+ in that class.
Way well.
Like.
She was on the honor roll already.
I mean, I did get on the honor roll frequently. But I'm saying in that class, like solid. I mean, we're talking like senior year when it's like, I already know I'm going to college. Like, who cares? No, I was nailing those tests. I think I had the highest grade in there.
And
it made me very proud.
Even beat the valedictorian?
Yeah, I got like an end of the year award or whatever for highest grade.
Did you go up to the valedictorian and be like, what?
I think I definitely did rub it in his face.
This is what I got.
I beat you in American, like, not even like the most exciting class, but I did beat you in American government, so whatever.
Suck it, right?
Yeah, that's probably exactly how I was, knowing those types of things I held as a teenager, too. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But to be fair, most of what I remember really about history, like I could probably walk you through an American Adventure at Epcot because we saw it so many times because my dad loved history.
Okay.
He was like you, very interested in it. Like I remember we have actually, as we're talking about Abraham Lincoln, the movie Lincoln, we have the DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. We own it.
Oh, I didn't.
But it was not
know that.
Ours. That was my dad's.
Okay, I can see
him. You and I did not own that. I think I may have even bought it for him. I can't really remember. But, yeah, so.
Did he watch it?
Yeah. Yeah, because he loved that stuff. He loved the History Channel. Like, yeah, he loved. And we would go to the American Adventure 1 or 2 times every time we came to Disney World because he loved it so much. And, I mean, to be fair, when you hit that certain age when I was a teenager, I was just like, you got to be kidding me. How many times do you have to see this show? Like, it's good nap time, good to hang out. Now I appreciate it a little bit more, and especially now that he's gone. But we would go to the American Presidents, that show too, at the Magic Kingdom because of him. Otherwise, I would just pass.
You know what they say about people that don't know history?
You're doomed to repeat it.
Yep, clearly you do.
Isn't it that you have to learn from history?
People that don't it, learn right? from history right? are you doomed have to, learn to repeat from it.
Because you may know it and then still do the same stupid shit.
Yes.
So, but yeah. But no, it's good. It's, and I know you're good for facts, so I don't really have to worry about it now. Ooh.
Yeah.
Thunder.
So.
I think it's going to rain.
I think so, too.
First rain we've had in a while. We're in a drought right now.
Well, we definitely need it. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, let us know what you think of this movie.
Do you like it? Do you think it's silly?
What vampire movie do you like and why?
What's your favorite?
What did you think of the vampires in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
And what president do you think could be another vampire hunter?
Who else is out there hunting at night?
Yeah. Gabe? With, maybe they could have a team full of presidents. President hunt vampire hunters.
Just make a movie where they all come back together somehow magically.
I mean, they did Bill and Ted. They could use a time machine and be like...
That's true. You know what? That'll be the next Bill and Ted movie, is they'll go and find all the vampire hunter presidents through history.
They should.
There you go. We've written
Keanu,
it for you.
I got you. I got your next...
Keanu and Alex, yeah. We've
Alex
got it.
Alex Winters.
Mm-hmm.
We got your next Bill and Ted movie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys. Well, hopefully you liked this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Please like and subscribe. You can find this show anywhere you get your podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Please subscribe to the Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast. That is only available at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com.
Yes, and I will tell you, one of the reasons why is because, I mean, as it sounds like, they talk about some weird shit on there, and it gets censored.
Yes.
It's just released. Just keeping it real, that's one of the reasons why it has to be just subscription on the website only, because even snippets he's posted, we got a hit on TikTok.
Yes.
A warning.
Warning on TikTok.
Yes.
I was like, honestly, I figured TikTok didn't really care, but no, I was like, I was pissed for several days.
It was a thing.
I was like, we got a strike on TikTok. I was like, who does this?
Yeah, for people asking, you know, especially with this show, I mean, that's one of the reasons why we had an entire YouTube channel banned because of similar things and had to start over. So, yeah.
We talk about content on there that if it wasn't real, why would I get banned? Why would it get banned?
They said you're spreading misinformation.
Well, you know, a lot of people get on there and say the sky is red instead of blue, but they don't give them strikes.
I'm just telling you what
it's... No, I agree. But yeah. There's some things that I got a whole entire YouTube channel taken down, and I got a strike on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't real, wouldn't you just be like, oh... It's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, it's something's there.
Yeah.
So if you like that kind of content, please subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Josh and I do that. It's a lot of fun recording this show.
Mm-hmm.
We're in this show, we have three episodes talking about FEMA alone.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, let us know what you think about this episode and your favorite vampires.
Yep, and then as we said, we'll be back with Interview with the Vampire on our next episode. We have a whole list.
Yes.
It's a long list of vampire movies. Could get longer. That's why I said I think you have at least solid 2 months of vampire things.
Yes.
Might get longer. We'll see.
Yes.
Yeah, in July, we'll see if we're still doing this, but yeah.
Well, you guys stay spooky, and remember, everybody's entitled to one good scare. And we will see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
You Can't Kill the Boogeyman podcast is produced and hosted by Robbie and Sammy Brooksby as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Podcast Network. Post-production and intro by Sammy Brooksby. Follow the show on Instagram at BoogeymanPod. You can also follow the Limitless Broadcasting Company at Limitless Broadcasting and your horror hosts at Robert 1950 Studios and at The Samalam. We also have a TikTok at 1950 Studios. Email your creepy comments and spooky suggestions to us at boogeymanpod@gmail.com. Don't forget, everyone is entitled to one good scare. Have a horrific week.
We all know how much Robbie has been impacted by global superstar Nelly. Now he's going to share the story of Cornell Haynes Jr. coming soon to the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Welcome to Nelly. Feel.